Father, in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. We are here, all of us gathered in the name of the Lord. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Throughout this week, Lord, this convocation week, as we come before you, Lord, we want to rend our hearts, not just our garments. We want to be inflicted in our soul, afflicted in our soul by the art of confession. As we come before you, Lord, we want to afflict our souls with prayer, with supplication, with fasting before the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Give everyone the strength, Lord. Help us all to be in the unity of the faith, oneness and one accord and singleness of purpose. We are seeking the Lord. May he leave a blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the other day, welcome again, everyone. Today is day one of our convocation week, and it's all week long, from now through Sunday. And so, the last time we read in the book of Nehemiah, what they did on the fasting day. And we're going to do that here this morning. And also, we're going to look at the book of Nehemiah chapter 9. Also going to be reading through, we're going to take the reading of the word through Daniel chapter 9. I mean, this is what they do on the fasting day. That's right. On the fasting day, they say, bring ye the book of the law, and let's read it, and let's hear it. Well, we're going to do exactly that. And as we step into God's presence, we trust that it's going to be a great experience. All right, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, let's just read through some of it. Now, in the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, sackcloth, and earth. Well, we are assembled today with fasting. We don't need to put sackcloth, you know, and earth on our heads. We are rending our hearts, not our garments this time. You know, but it also said that the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. So that's the thing that we should be doing. This is what consecration means. A consecrated fasting is a time that not only we're skipping meals, we're skipping things, other things, social media, you know, pleasure and other things like that, you know, and we're just bringing ourselves before the Lord, separating ourselves from strangers and things, you know, and the things that so easily besets us. And anything that, you know, normally gets the best of you, separate yourself from that thing. We're making the Lord our chief joy this week. And we're going to stand and confess our sins. So they stood and they confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. That's like 3 hours. Because their day was 12 hours. Just reading the book of the law for 3 hours. And then another 4th part, another 3 hours, they confessed. And worship God. That's 6 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, we won't be spending 6 hours in this room, but we are going to mirror that. We're going to pattern these rooms after that, especially this first day. We're going to stand in our place, kneel down, raise your hands, whatever. But you are going to be in position. And we are going to confess our sins. That's right. And we are going to open our hearts unto the Lord. Now, if we say we have not sinned, we lie and we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But this kind of confession is not going to be lip confession. Lip confession is just going through the ritual. You know, there are some religions, they go to the priest and they say, Father, I have sinned. It's been X number of days since my last confession. And then they say a few words. The priest absolves them. And then they go on about their business. Only to come back next week, repeat that same process. Well, that's lip confession. You know, but a genuine confession also means conversion. It means a 180. In other words, whatever we are confessing, then we do a 180 from the thing. You know, we turn around completely. You know, so, and this confession is important, and our supplications for the, as we seek the face of the Lord, for the revival that we are trusting God for. We're going to do that. Before we start getting into the personal word of promise that the Lord has given us, which is being held back by whatever, and which the heavens must release during this convocation week. But before we get into that, first, we're going to seek the Lord with all our heart. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So when they stood upon their places, they confessed their sins and they worshiped the Lord. So confession also goes with worshiping the Lord. Consecration also goes with reading the book of the law. For us, you know, any part of this Bible that we choose to read during this time will, for us, serve as the book of the law. And today's reading will be taken from Daniel chapter 9. That's right. In Daniel chapter 9, we're going to read and participate in that experience that Daniel went through. Again, like I said, you know, when we started, it's going to be about participation in these rooms this week. Praise the Lord. You know, on the fasting day, such as this, what must we do? Well, we're going to read in the book of the law, and we are going to confess our sins, and we are going to worship. So turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. That's where we're going to be reading from on this fasting day. Praise the Lord. Now, the story of Daniel here. Daniel was a man that was acquainted with prayer. You know, it was one that made prayer business with God. He set a time for prayer every day, even when they made a decree that nobody should make any prayer to any God or so, other than to the king, when he set a trap for him. It didn't change him one bit. He continued to do as he was used to doing. And so he was a man that was acquainted with prayer. And then sometimes he would step up even his prayer. He would step up his game in prayer. You know, in this particular place, you know, it was a prayer of confession, of supplication, you know, and standing before the Lord in the gap both for himself and for the people. And he, just identified himself with the people like that. And, you know, the Lord actually recognized Daniel as a man, you know, that was, you know, had power with God. You know, not only did the angel tell him that, which we are going to read, but in the book of Ezekiel chapter 14, you know, let's see what even God had to say about Daniel. Now, this is why, you know, this confession thing that Daniel did here is very important. God even saw Daniel. There were three people that God mentioned here. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, God mentioned three people who were upright and righteous before God. Well, I'm sure there were many others, but there was a reason why God picked out these three. There were certain characteristics. I won't go into that today. But Ezekiel 14, you know, verses 14 and verse 20 will tell you. He said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver only themselves by their own righteousness. They will not deliver the others. I mean, but God recognized that these three people. Daniel was one of such that received that kind of testimony from God. Verse 20 says the same thing. Neither Noah, Daniel, nor Job, you know, even though they were in it, as I live, said the Lord, they would deliver only their own souls by their own righteousness, not deliver anybody else. But these people were counted as righteousness. I mean, they were counted as righteous before God. They were in right standing. And the thing that made Daniel to be in right stand, that's really what righteousness is being in right standing with God. You know, not what anybody else says, not what you think, not what the world says, not what the church says, the church systems, the religious systems, but in right standing with God. So, and the thing that made him to be in right standing with God is what we are about to read in Daniel chapter 9. So we're going to do this as our reading of the book of the law today, because that's what they did. And so in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, even in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Now, these were the books of Jeremiah. You know, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. We're not going into that right now. But is Daniel, he read and he knew that, you know, the time was approaching. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, there's one element that we want to call out here. We're going to call out several things as we go through this reading of the book of the law, so to speak. Number one. Just because God promised or prophesied something doesn't mean we're going to just fold our arms and then sit back, relax, and just wait for that thing to come to pass. It doesn't work that way. In fact, that thing will be delayed. A devil would have a field day just delaying things all over the place. People must learn to get in prayer right underneath the very word of promise. Just like we talked about a couple days ago, Elijah had the word of promise that rain was coming. In fact, he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. But he sent Ahab to go up and eat and drink. But he himself did not go up and eat and drink. Rather, he went up to pray. And here's what we see here, Daniel. Daniel, he understood that the time was, 70 years appointed for them in captivity. And they were coming to an end. They'd been there for many years, close to that 70. And he wasn't going to take, a chance. So he was going to get under that promise. It was kind of like a promise that after 70 years, the Lord will bring them back. So he had to get underneath that thing in prayer. And the way he did it, I set my face to seek the Lord by prayer and supplications with fasting. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. So that was the first part of his prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, the same thing that they did in Nehemiah was to make their confession all, that whole time. For 3 hours, they were confessing and worshiping God. Now, we're going to do that after I finish this reading here. I'm going to go through this reading, point out several things. So we've already seen that, yes, you get a hold of the word of promise, but you have to pray through. Now, the next thing is he stood here in confession. And what is the kind of prayer that he prayed that God acknowledged, such prayer? He said, as I prayed, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. So first of all, acknowledge God. And then he began to go straight into the confession. We have sinned. Put himself right in the smack of it all. When you do this, we can't do a holier than thou attitude. You can't blame, can't play the blame game. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent and all of that. No, that's not going to work. You've got to take ownership on the problem. See, we have to own the problem. The confusion of faces, we need to own it. We've been talking for years about this last great powerful work that God will do. Well, why is it not over yet? So we've got to own it. Every one of us, as in one way or the other, contributed to that delay. Even though, God knows the times and he appoints the times. But I tell you what, if all of us had gotten under prayer and been doing the right things that we needed to have been doing, for hundreds of years now, instead of the yo-yo thing, sometimes we believe God, sometimes we don't. If we had been in that realm, this thing would be over by now. The power that God promised, the move would have happened, the translation and all. The elect would have been brought in, the seed, the harvest would have been reaped, So every one of us has one part of the other in the blame for this thing. And part of it is everyone has gone to their tents, O Israel. We've been so, consumed with many other things. And so we are coming back this week with this convocation to realign our posture with where we need to be. And he prayed this prayer and said, we have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us, confusion of faces. That's right. That's exactly where we are now. Confusion of faces. Instead of having the glory of God beaming over our faces are confused, because we do not have the glory of the Lord God Almighty in the face of Jesus Christ. We don't have that, emanating, oozing out of our lives right now, as we should already be. Bible says many places arise and shine. But you know, we shine a little bit, but not as brightly as we should be shining. And this consecration and the fasting is to help us make, say, your light, I mean, will shine. Even your darkness will be as the noonday. Your light will be as the brightness of the sun. These are the things that we need to pray. Confusion of faces, he said, belongs to us as this day. To the men of Judah, to inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are either near or afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of the iniquities and the trespass that we trespass against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies, though, forgiveness, though we have rebelled against thee. Now, when we are praying for God's mercy, when we are confessing our sins, we also must be assured of God's mercy in forgiveness. We must be assured. You know, even as Hebrews says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's no point crying unto the Lord. There's no point, you know, being in contrition with a contrite heart before him throughout this convocation week if we're not going to believe that God is actually going to answer our prayer, you know. So it is important for us to believe that, you know, we must believe that when we come to the Lord this week, he will forgive. Hallelujah. Because we are pouring out our heart in confession. Now, if our hearts are arrogant, and say, well, you know, I don't need any confession. Well, then already we missed the mark. You know, so Hebrews 11 and 6 says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as this man was praying and confessing both his sins and the sins of his people, we see all the things that he began to say here. He said, look, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And now at verse 10, you know, to walk in his laws that were set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel indeed have transgressed thy law, even by departing. You know, that they did not obey thy voice, neither the, you know, therefore the curse is poured upon us. So this man is acknowledging the reason why, you know, they are sitting in darkness, you know, and are sitting and remaining in captivity. But the Lord promised the release is coming, but he's going to pray through. And he's going to put himself in a position, you know, to cleanse his heart before the Lord. Now, he said, the oath that is written in the law of Moses, you know, which says, well, if you forsake the Lord, he will also forsake you. And he will give you over, you know, to be tormented. And, you know, he said, the Lord hath confirmed those words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done that which has been done upon Jerusalem. Even as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Remember, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 14 verses talks about the blessing of obedience. And then the rest of the verses talks about all of the evil that God is going to bring upon them if they do not, see, follow after his righteousness. You know, so, I mean, there's about 60-something verses in that Deuteronomy, you know, 28. 68 verses to be exact. And only verse 14 talks about a blessing of obedience. The rest of it, which is another 54 verses or so, talks about all of the evil that will come upon them if they turn away from the Lord. And so that's what Daniel is talking about here. That according as it is written in the law of Moses, we turned away from the Lord. And so all of this evil has befallen us. And now he said, because, you know, the Lord brought this evil, it's been so great. We have not seen anything quite like it done upon any place else, just unlike Jerusalem. Jerusalem should have been the city of the Lord. Well, look at it in ruins and everything. And he said, look, all of these things were written in the law of Moses. All this evil is come upon us, he said in verse 13. Yet, did we turn to the Lord? No, we did not even turn to the Lord, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand his truth. We didn't do it, Lord, but now we want to turn. So this is our prayer this week. You know, people of the Lord, what is it that we have pursued instead of pursuing the Lord? And we'll be dealing with some of that this week. Now, he said, therefore had the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. You know, the Lord said, look, has there been evil in a city, and I, the Lord, have not caused it to come upon them? The Lord will do all these things. You know, when we are, our ways are right, he will open the windows of heaven, you know, and pour out and leave us a blessing. When our ways are evil before him, he will close the heavens up, which gives permission to the devil to do all those things. That's right. You know, and so, and judgment, you know, in fact, the Lord, when he was talking about restoration in the book of Joel, this is the way he put it. He said, I will restore to you the years which the cankerworm has eaten, you know, the palmer worm and all of these things, the caterpillar, the palmer worm and locust, Joel 2:25. My great army, which I sent among you. Think about that. You know, the Lord is even saying that all the devourer that ate up your stuff, that prevented your blessing, your advancement, and all those things, that's what locusts do. They come in, they eat up all the vegetation. You know, cankerworm, you know, they just destroy things, you know, caterpillar, palmer worm, everything. But the Lord is saying, it's my great army. Yeah, because that's the chastisement of the Lord, you know, for our ways being evil before him. But the Lord promises a restoration. And because of that restoration, we are here to seek the face of the Lord, that he will indeed do it. So our prayer is going to be today, O Lord, let thy word, that which you have spoken by your mouth, that you will indeed turn back the hand of the devourer, the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. Let that word which you have spoken by your mouth be performed in our lives as it is this day. That's going to be our prayer throughout this week. Hallelujah. So back to the prayer of David, again, I mean not David, Daniel. We're reading it as the reading of the book of the law on this day of fasting. So Daniel was praying all these things before the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, we have sinned, we have done wickedly, you know, you brought all this evil into your hand. But remember, he said, look, thou art the one that brought forth thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Verse 15. And you got the renown, you know, but we have sinned and we have not followed your ways. We have done wickedly. Now he said to the Lord, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech you this day, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your people. Hallelujah. You know, as we're reading this, we're praying it as well. You know, let your anger, O Lord, and your fury be turned away from that church. Yeah, because, you know, the church, we've gone after all kinds of things. We've gone after the golden calf. We've gone after, you know, personal gain, personal elevation, and all kinds of things. I mean, we've gone after the things that are detestable to God. Jesus said, the things which are highly esteemed among men, in the book of Luke 16 and 15, these things are an abomination to God. Those are the things that our hearts are pursued after. And so all these, you know, confusion of faces has come upon us, and we'll be praying, Lord, have mercy. You know, turn your face away from our sins and our iniquities, both of our fathers, both of ourselves, you know, and all of us, you know, say your people have become a reproach to to all that are about us, you know. I mean, in the early church, the fear of God fell upon people. People did not even likely join themselves to them because there was fear. You know, they were not a reproach, you know, but now we become a reproach. We become a byword, you know, and so on. So we need prayer and supplication and fasting to restore the things that God has promised. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication and cause thy face to shine again upon thy sanctuary that is now desolate. Do it, Lord, for thy own name's sake. That's right. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. You can begin to put all of the things there. You know, are we not desolate? You know, I mean, are we not without the light? Are we not without revival? I mean, why is it that many are sleeping among the church? Sleeping meaning dead or dying. You know, when we should have life, people are dying. You know, when we should have health, people are sick. When we should have the power of God to be the ones that will be going out there healing the sea, we are among ourselves, are, you know, we are wounded, you know, and so forth. When we should be the examples in the communities, our families are broken, broken marriages and all these things, you know, among the people of God. I mean, there's just, you know, it's, the whole thing is just torn apart, you know, and so this is the time for us. Incline, he said, thine ears, O God. Open your eyes and see. For this city is called by your name. See, that's again, you know, putting God's name and his reputation at stake. You know, talked about that many times. You know, this is the thing. You know, his name is at stake here. Your name is at stake, Lord. You know what you have promised. You know how they are looking at the church now. And we are the one that bear your name. Now, therefore, O Lord, be jealous for your name. Arise and shine and cause our iniquity to be taken from us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus, even as we are reading and standing in this prayer right now, the words of this supplication that this man of God, Daniel, he stood there, right there, and prayed and identified with the evil, even though he himself was a righteous man. The Lord acknowledged him and said, look, his righteousness is above others. He can only save himself, though. Noah was a righteous man in his day. Job was a righteous man in his day. Daniel was a righteous man in his day. And God was testifying of these men. But Daniel threw away that cloak of righteousness. When he came before the Lord, he put upon himself sackcloth. You don't come before the king in sackcloth. No, you don't do that. You know, you don't come before the king with the morose and sad face. Even Nehemiah said that when he was about to go up to ask favor of the king. But, you know, in this case, it's well deserved. I mean, we do not, right now, we have not been walking worthy of the robe of righteousness. The Lord said, I will clothe you with the garments of righteousness for my own name's sake. The robe of righteousness, the glory of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, we have not walked worthy of it. We as a church and we as a people, you know, there have been fightings within, fears without, bickerings, you know, and so forth, you know, and even consuming one another, you know, we have been, I mean, just, it's just mind boggling that the state, ladies and gentlemen, the state of the church. It's kind of like state of the church address. This, the church, state of the church right now is woeful. So we're not where we need to be. However, there is hope of a tree. Hallelujah. Though it be cut down, there is hope because of the word of God. There is hope that the Lord said, I will turn back the army of the locust, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, all these things that I have sent and eating up the place because of our disobedience. First, we need to acknowledge that it was our fault. That's right. That's why we are not crowned with glory today as we should have been. Well, there are mercy drops here and there, but we've not really been in that haze of power that we should be walking in it every day. Why are we so easily, you know, frustrated? Why are we so easily in despair? I mean, why are we not walking in the glory of the Lord like the Christ every single day? Why is it that we win some and we lose some? Jesus didn't win some and lose some. You know, he won all of it, all the time. I mean, so, and these things, well, these are the reasons why we come in prayer. We've been believing God for tremendous revival to close out the age and sweep us into heaven. Well, there are some people that are not even believing God for that. Many people today are believing God only for, you know, their day-to-day things, you know, how they're going to do well in their jobs, how they're going to do well in their businesses. You know, these are believers. And, you know, our minds and our things, our attention, your focus and wrapped around these things. And I will be dealing with some of these strategies of the devil that make sure that we do not advance in the glory of God. That's right. Repeat. This week, we're going to be dealing against the strategies of the devil that have been designed to make sure we do not advance in the glory of God. You know, so that's going to be our prayer. So we've been reading in the Word of God. Now, let every one of us pray, confessing our sins and worshiping God. Remember, they stood, they prayed for hours. They read the Word of God. And then for hours, they confess and worship God. This is not drive-by or microwave kind of prayer. Just stick it in a few minutes and come out. That's not going to work. You know, this is the one you grind in there with the Lord. We rent our hearts. We stick it out day after day after day throughout this week. And see if the Lord will leave us a blessing. You know, let's not be presumptuous. We know what he has promised, but we're not going to be presumptuous. We're going to do the due diligence in seeking his face. And ye shall seek me and find me, saith the Lord, when you will seek after me with all of your heart. That's right. So let's pray. I want everybody where you are to begin to pray. And remember, I said, we're going to engage. I don't want you to sit back and say, oh, I'm just going to listen in. No, we're not in listening in mode during this convocation. Just a little part of it for you to hear the word of God, but the rest of it is we must engage. But we've got to do this together. Praise the Lord. So right now, I want you to engage. And any those of you that say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to join in, I'm going to do all of these things. Now, put your, you know, people say, put your money where your mouth is at. Well, let's put our faith where our mouth was at. Come to the stage and join me in this prayer. You know, I don't, right now it's my wife and I that's on here. I want to see more people come. Come to the stage. We're going to pray together. You know, here right now, we're going to cry out to the Lord. I want you to come to the stage and let's pray together. That's right. This is what we want. And, you know, and as the Holy Spirit guides us through these rooms, you got to obey. You know, the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 32, continues to dwell and lead only those that obey him. You know, so come on to the stage. Let me try to get the hands that are raised. we want you to come to the stage. As many of you that have promised that you are going to join in this prayer, then you must come to the stage. That's right. This is what God is calling for right now. We are going to pray together. Glory to God. And the Lord may have a word for some of you when you get here. But we'll see how the Lord does it. Praise God. Yeah, I believe with all my heart that this is going to be, an amazing time. All right. Let's see if we can get all the hands up to the stage. Would you know it? Even Pearl is able to come up to the stage. I always have a problem bringing her, but the grace of God is opening up this room today. God is allowing you to come to the stage. Come to the stage and pray with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Patricia, let's see if I can get you up to the stage. Praise the Lord. Any other hands that are raised? We've got many hands that are raised. And this is the thing that we're going to be doing during this time of consecration. So count it not strange if you ask you to come to this stage. This is not for you to come here and teach a lesson or give a reaction. This is for you to come out here and pray with us. Now, you may be at work and you may not be able to do that. So that's okay. But if you can, then join us. This is part of the unity of the faith. We got to do this together. Remember what I said, that, we're going to keep it simple, and keeping it simple means we just obey the voice of the Lord, so I need more people, to come. I mean, I still see a lot of people in the audience that are not yet coming to the stage. I need more of you to come to the stage. As many of you as can, you're going to get the most benefit out of this, if you fully obey and follow the instructions. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, in a minute, we're going to start the corporate confession and the corporate prayer. And any kind of consecrated fasting that is void of reading the word, confession, praying, and worshiping the Lord is going nowhere. These are elements that must be present. Whether you are doing the consecration yourself, by yourself only, which is the individual consecration, those elements must be present. You must spend time in the word, spend time in confession, spend time in worshiping the Lord, and so on and so forth. Now, when we are doing it as a corporate convocation, means a gathering of the people, since we are doing it at corporate, then we also need you to engage and participate. So thank you, everyone that has come. Remember, unto you, the Lord, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You're gathered unto the Lord, not unto me, but you're gathered unto the Lord. I'm only just giving instructions of what we must do as the Lord gives it to me as well. So now that you are here with us, we're going to go into prayers. And as we begin to pray, if others still want to join, still free to do that. You can join that at any time. But we want you all to, as many people as possible, to come on stage and be with us. And I will call out some prayers and you can open your mic and begin to pray. First, I will pray. I'm going to pray one short prayer now. And I will close the segment where only I am speaking. I will close that. And then we'll go into prayers where everybody will be praying. So let me pray this prayer over this room, and I'll close this segment, and then we will start the other corporate prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, as we have stood in the word of God, we have read the word, and we want to follow the example that we see here of this man. You identified him as a man of righteousness, in right standing with God. And we see how he confessed his sins and the sins of the people, and how he prayed earnestly for the glory of God to return and for God to bring his people out of captivity. Today, O Lord, as we enter into this convocation week, we come before you with prayer, with supplication, and with fasting. And we are confessing our sins, the sins of our fathers, the sins of the entire church, how that we have followed other things, even the golden calf, more than following after the Lord himself. And how, as it is this day, the confusion of faith is upon us because you are a righteous God. Now therefore, O Lord, as your people pray before you today, hear our prayers, O God, and have mercy, for thou art indeed a God that showeth mercy. Have mercy upon us, O God, and turn back the hand of the enemy, and let the Spirit of God gain the advantage again in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. And that which you promised, the glory of the latter house being greater than the former, which we don't see quite yet, we pray, Lord, that you will cause it to happen in our days. And the Lord said, in your days have I spoken it, saith the Lord, and in your days will I bring it to pass. Behold, saith the Lord, it is written in the word of God, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, it is written in verses 25 and 28. For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will also perform it, saith the Lord God. Now therefore, he said, say unto them, in verse 28 of Ezekiel 12, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, and I say swiftly, in Jesus' name, saith the Lord God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.